fitter, happier. A program about your health, for your health.
Every year, almost 12,000 Australians or West Australians are diagnosed with cancer, and around 4,000 people lose their lives to the disease. Recent studies have estimated that 30 to 40% of these cancers could be prevented. And if that happened, it would save so much pain, anguish and costs associated with treating cancer. More Western Australians are being diagnosed with cancer than ever. And reasons for increase of these diagnoses include so much more. And today, to talk to us about it, we've got Melissa Ledger from the Council WA. Welcome to Fitter Happier.
Thanks, Georgia. It's great to be here.
So that's a huge number of people.
It is. Cancer's really a very common disease. We think about one in two people will be developing cancer at some stage in their life before they get to the age of 85.
One in two. That's like, there's four people here right now. That's quite scary.
That's right. So lots of people are affected by cancer, not just the people who get a cancer diagnosis, but their families and friends. So you can see why cancer is such a big deal for people. They really want to do something to support the Cancer Council and support their family and friends if they've had cancer.
So what are some of the most common types of cancer that you see here in Australia?
So the most common, if we look at them closely, the top five cancers make up about 60% of all of the new cancers diagnosed. So that's a really big proportion responsible from just five cancers. So if I rattle them off, I think people will just sort of nod their heads and probably know someone who's had one of those cancers. So lung cancer, breast cancer, prostate cancer, bowel and skin cancer, and including melanoma, are the top five cancers in WA.
Yeah, all common ones that unfortunately I think most people may have had to deal with somehow in their life. So 40% of cancers can be prevented.
That's right. So between 3 and 4 out of 10 cancers could be prevented. So many people think cancers might just be a genetic fault or bad luck or fate, but we actually know that it's a combination of genes, environment and our lifestyle. And there's been lots of scientific research that's shown us now, you know, what we can say to people and what we can do to avoid cancer and certainly reduce our risk of cancer.
I'm one of those people. I actually kind of just thought we were maybe just born with it. It was just in our genes.
No, so there's lots of advice we can give to people, and it's a tricky one because cancer can take a long time to develop, and so people think, I'm bulletproof, it's not going to happen to me, I'm young, won't matter what I do now, I'll fix it when I'm later. And that's something we can really help people with, that, you know, if we can start off on the right foot when we're younger and build some really healthy habits, then we've got a much better chance of reducing our risk of getting cancer later.
So is that some of the things that we can do to reduce our risk? Healthy habits, I mean, slip, slop, slapping.
Yeah.
What else
You're
can we do?
You're that generation, which is really great. So there's things that I think people know really well. They've heard a lot. So not smoking has got to be one of the biggest things you can do to reduce your risk of cancer. It's one of the most common causes of cancer deaths in WA. So it has a really big burden for cancer. So it's one of the best things, just never start smoking. But if you do smoke or you know someone who smokes, support them, help them quit.
And so smoking doesn't just cause lung cancer, does it? Does it?
No, it's 16 different types of cancer. It's quite a list. Yeah.
Wow.
So lung cancer's the most common and probably the most obvious, but mouth and throat and pharynx, bowel cancer, it seems strange that it might be associated with bowel cancer. So there's really quite a few. Maybe some of the other ones that people are familiar with, like you said, UV radiation, so skin cancer risk. Maybe some of the ones that people are less familiar with, things like alcohol increases the risk of cancer. And we know that breast and bowel cancer again, and they're those cancers that are on the top of the list. And so when you've got a risk factor that you know causes that cancer, then you can really reduce that burden of cancer, like really reduce those numbers down if we can do something. So as I mentioned, alcohol, that's a tricky one to talk about in Australia too, but it's important that we let people know that alcohol does cause cancer. Some of the other ones that people might not be aware of is being overweight and obese. That can increase the risk of a number of cancers. Again, bowel's on that list, and breast cancer, so those common ones I keep talking about. And some other ones that are a bit rarer, like esophageal, liver cancer, a few others.
But there are vaccines. I mean, obviously their vaccines aren't a foolproof way of saying, I'm not going to get cancer. But there are vaccines and other screening tests and things out there to help people.
Yeah, there are. So for, I think your listeners would be really familiar with human papillomavirus. So that's a virus that causes cervical cancer in women and a number of other cancers as well. So that's a bit of a list as well that we're getting more and more cancers added to that list. So mouth, head and neck, throat and mouth cancers as well.
Is that what some people may know as HPV?
Yes. Yep. So there's a vaccine for HPV now, so boys and girls in year 8. So supporting them to have permission to get that vaccination is going to have an enormous impact on reducing cancers that are associated with HPV. So, and it's not just girls with cervical cancer. Men get penile cancer and anal cancer as a result of HPV infection too. So, and for women, other gynecological cancers too. So getting into the nitty-gritty, vaginal cancer and vulval cancer. So
when I was in school, we did a course of, was it... it was for cervical cancer. Was it Vagisil?
It was Gardasil.
Gardasil.
You were very close. Very good.
So is that kind of what they're doing now in the schools? Yeah. They're still doing that?
They sure are. So you would have had probably 3 doses of Gardasil, and that would have probably protected, well, we estimate it's going to protect about 70% of cervical cancers, because there's a number of different types of HPV. And so Gardasil covered the 2 most common types, but we know there's a few more. And so there's a new vaccine called Gardasil 9 that's just come out this year for the program. And we think that's going to prevent about 90% of cervical cancers, because it covers off on an additional 5 high-risk HPV cancers or HPV cancer-causing types. But the other amazing thing is that it also reduces genital warts by about 90% as well. And like I mentioned, it's not just women. So we think the Gardasil 9 vaccine will prevent about 90% of the HPV cancer-causing cancers for men as well. So as we mentioned before, so it's really a really good news story.
Yeah, that's awesome. Last week on Fitter Happier, we talked about, it was Adventure Week here for Radiothon, and we talked about sexual adventures. So that's actually, you know, tying into that a little bit. There are a few other things out there that young people or all people can do to help prevent them from sexually transmitted diseases.
Yeah.
I guess it's and it's not a, you won't get it, as I said before, but it's something we can help.
That's right. It's a really big impact, and not just in Australia. I mean, I know we always look in our own backyard, but cervical cancer is one of the most common cancers globally. It's about the 3rd most common cause of cancer death worldwide. And so the impact of a vaccine in developing and low-income countries can just be enormous. So it's exciting to be at a time when something can have such a big impact on cancer rates worldwide.
Something I also wanted to talk about is that it's kind of stereotyped that cancer just affects old people. But that's not the case at all, is it?
Look, it's not the case. Cancer is definitely a disease of ageing, and we have an ageing population. We hear it all the time. You know, because we're living longer, there's more people moving up to being over 55 and over 60. The average age of a cancer diagnosis in Western Australia is 66, so it does give us an indication that it is definitely an ageing disease. And when we look at some of those graphs, we've got really great statistics in Western Australia. We can see that cancer does increase from about the age of 40, but really markedly from 50. But it's really important, if people notice symptoms, that they go and see their doctor, that they don't feel embarrassed or they're wasting their doctor's time, or they're tough, they'll just look at it, you know, I'll just sit this out and, you know, see if it goes away by itself. And often some cancers will only give one symptom. And for some people, there is a genetic component as well. And so if they are younger or they've got family that have had cancer, then they do need to be really mindful of that as well. So, you know, we don't want to overstate it either, but young people do need to be doing the right thing now to reduce their risk of cancer. So that healthy lifestyle we talked about before, but also to be on the lookout for symptoms, because that is a really important way to find cancers early.
So we're speaking to Melissa Ledger from the Cancer Council right now. I wanted to kind of end on something a little bit positive, and that is that right now there are more and more people than ever surviving cancer.
There sure are, and it is really a great news story, and that's a result of 2 things really. finding cancer early, we just were talking about, but we've got screening programs as well that actively look for cancer, and that's the National Bowel Cancer Screening Program, Cervical Screening Program and Breast Screening Program. And we know when we can find cancer early through screening programs, we can have a really big impact on survival. People have more treatment options and they're more likely to survive their cancer. But also the treatment is just remarkable. The research investment in treatment and that treatment being made available to people has just made a really big difference. So about 68% people, we know that survival rates now are about 68% for 5 years, which is remarkable. Some cancers have a 99% survival rate. So stage one breast cancer, for example, and testicular cancer. And testicular cancer is one of those cancers that happen in young men. So 15 to 39 year old men, that's their number one cancer, followed wow. by melanoma.
Wow.
So we know that those men, even though they get a cancer at a young age, have just such a wonderful chance of survival because of the treatment that's available to them. So it is a really amazing story. And I read a statistic just this morning getting ready for this. By 2040, there'll be 1.8 million Australians living with cancer.
That they're aware of or
yep,
just...
Yeah, that they've had cancer, they've been treated, they've survived and now just living as cancer survivors.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Let's talk about where people can go to get some more information if they do have a few more questions about cancer.
They can go to Cancer Council 13 11 20. We have trained cancer nurses available to answer questions for people who have cancer, their family, their friends and for health professionals who would like some more information as well.
That's there's also a website for anyone who would like to go to cancerwa.asn.au.
That's right.
Thank you so much for being on Fitter Happier with us today, Melissa.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.